So what is the middle way? This is the further question that arises. And I remember that in the course of my 20 years in India, I gave quite a number of lectures on this particular topic. Usually, I spoke of the principle of the middle way as having three aspects, or three levels of application. There was what I called the middle way in ethics, the middle way in psychology, and the middle way in metaphysics. The middle way in ethics is, of course, well known. It consists in the fact that one should avoid the extreme of self-mortification on the one hand and self-indulgence on the other. Or, if you like, the extremes of asceticism and hedonism. The middle way in psychology is not quite so well known. Here also, there are two extreme views. According to one of these extreme views, man possesses, an unchanging soul, and that this soul, unchanged, survives bodily death. That is one of the extreme views in psychology. According to the other view, the opposite view, man possesses no soul, unchanging or otherwise, and there is therefore nothing of him that survives bodily death. These two extreme views were very well represented in the time of the Buddha by different thinkers. So here, the middle way is the view that there is not an unchanging, but a changing soul, and that this changing soul continues to exist after death in the same way that it existed during life. And of course, after death it may again become connected with a physical body, whether gross or subtle. And this is what is popularly known as rebirth or reincarnation. So much then for the middle way in psychology, as I explained it in India all those years ago. The middle way in metaphysics is somewhat more abstruse. One may think, as some of the thinkers in the Buddhist day did, one may think of ultimate reality in terms of existence, in terms of being. Or one may think of it in terms of non-existence, non-being. The middle way consists in thinking of it in terms of becoming. That is to say, consists in thinking of it in terms of shunyata, or voidness. Now in India, this threefold explanation of mine of the middle way was very popular with my various audiences, both Buddhist and non-Buddhist. And here in England, as in the West generally, it forms part of our standard FWBO teaching. But this evening I'm not going to enlarge on these three aspects of the middle way. I'm going to take them, so to speak, as read. I'm going to speak instead of the middle way and of our being on the middle way in more directly practical terms, terms which are, moreover, of particular relevance to us here in the West.